Life has its ups and downs, and like many of us, I face moments with depression. Music has always helped me find my way through, and I believe it can do the same thing for you. I'm James Cox, and this is the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, a podcast about the healing power of music.
Hey everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your professional handicapped host, James Cox. And today on When Words Fail, we are joined by Deborah Masterson, a musician, bassist, singer, producer, educator, and author whose remarkable journey has taken her from musical theater stages and performing with Sammy Davis Jr. For real. Okay. I would love to talk about that with her. And she's to documentary film and the release of her debut novel, Freedom Quest, a love story. Through music storytelling and lifelong passion for the arts, Deborah has explored how creativity helps us navigate love, loss, history, and human experience. Deborah, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you, James, for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's an honor to have you on here. Yes. So,
thank you.
So you've done a lot of things. A musician, bassist, singer, producer, educator, and author. While I read that, I was getting out of breath.
I'm feeling tired.
Right. You're not doing anything. You're just talking to me right now, you know?
I know, but it's like, oh, yeah, I think about all this stuff I've done. I'm like, wow, I'm tired.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but...
I've been very grateful. I've been, very, very lucky in my life. And, I think one of the things I've done is I really had a hard time not creating. I needed to be in a place where I could be creative. And in so doing, I realized I couldn't sit at a desk at an insurance company and push papers or something like that. I couldn't take a job that had security and a pension and health. I gave all of that up.
Yeah.
Because I knew I couldn't do it. I admire people that can, but right. I couldn't do it. Yeah.
Talking to you right now, you just reminded me of myself because I can't stay still for long. I have to be doing something in life, Of course, granted, I worked at Outback Steakhouse hosting, I've been doing that for 6 or 7 years now, but what I really like to do is meet people like you. I love music. I love talking about music, and that's what I want to do in life, and that's what I'm striving for to do. So thank you for doing what you want to do instead of what they say you have to do,
Yeah. I think now that I'm older, there's a lot of young people that I've spoken to that are like at a crossroads, and they're like, oh, I really don't want to do this, but I feel like I have to, to have the security and to have the money that I need and all of that. And I mean, I can't advise anybody, they have to figure it out for themselves. But I have said to people, you have to be true to yourself. You have to, follow your dreams and try to survive. And, maybe you don't need that big house on the hill with the fancy car and all of that, if that's going to suck your soul out of you and you're unhappy. So, and some people can do that, can do both, I guess. I have never really been, there's a couple of times in my life where I've been, pretty well off, had enough, more money than I needed, let me put it that way. But that most of the time it's been kind of like, okay, well, I have enough food on the table and a roof over my head, and that's, that's enough, and I can continue with my visions, my creative ideas, and see where that goes. But artists generally don't make a lot of money,
No, they don't.
And I think maybe people outside of that, or don't know any artists, or maybe aren't an artist themselves, they don't really think about that. But you see the big time artists, the actors, and maybe big time painters, that they're the only ones that are making the money. The rest of the artists, 90%, 99% of artists are not making a lot of money, and have to work another job to support their creativity, which is kind of sad. It'd be nice if it wasn't so bad, but you think, Bruce Springsteen, I'd like to be a Bruce Springsteen, or I'd like to be this or that, and that's like playing the lottery. The chances of being that caliber of artist, Taylor Swift or whatever, few and far between. Not everybody reaches that, but it doesn't have anything to do with the level or value of the art. That's what I find interesting. I've met many people. My partner that I wrote the book about, that we're going to talk about today, is a perfect example. Incredibly talented musician and a beautiful filmmaker too. And yet, he never had that one hit record. He never had that opportunity to make more movies or whatever. I think one of the themes of the book that I wrote is about what is success? What is real success? Because everybody told him he was going to be a rock and roll star. Everybody told him he was going to be a rock star. He was going to be the next Bruce Springsteen or James Taylor, or at the end of the day, that didn't happen. But I think he came to terms with the fact that, at the end of the day, it's about love and gratitude, and
But he's
he was,
happy. But he's
yeah,
happy
he was
that,
happy.
oh, yeah.
He was joyful,
I always
and.
thought that if you get all that luxury stuff, the cars, the money, the girls, the guys, the fans, the fort, I think it would be like a two-blade sword because, yeah, you got a lot of fame and a fortune, but are you really happy? I'd rather be happy than be
Yeah.
the richest man on earth,
Right.
so.
It's so true. And I guess, they're not one or the other. I mean, I think I've always said that in order to have a lot of money and be, like a star, and be very successful, you really have to be zen-like. You really have to really control yourself, because that all of that fame and fortune can really corrupt you. And I felt that at one point. I was running a talent agency in Los Angeles with my husband, and I was making a lot of money, and I really thought I was, hot.
Big so, right?
And then it all fell apart. I ended up in a divorce, and it all fell apart. And I look back on that now, and I don't know if I would have been able to handle it. It corrupted me in a way, So I think if you are, and also people who are famous, then they have the problem of not being able to go out. They feel like a prisoner in their own home or their own space, because they can't go out without the paparazzi, without, people accosting them and things like that. So you have that all of that part too, which I know, Craig Ingram, that the book is about. I changed the names. His name's Michael in the book, but I don't think he wanted that. I think, he wanted to keep his anonymity. He could have been, famous if he really wanted it. But you give up a lot for that. A lot of people, a lot of young people say to me, or I've heard this a lot, I want to be a star. That's my goal. I want to be a star. I don't think that's the right goal. The right goal is to make the best art you can make, to be true to yourself and make great art. That's the goal. And then let the chips fall where they may, you know.
So we talk about how depression helps and heals with music. That's the top killer of not doing something. But another thing that I hear young people say or not do or do is procrastination. Oh, well, I'll just wait until I get there here and then I'll blow up. A lot of young people now think it's so easy, because you look on Instagram and TikTok and but all of that is fake living, according to me. I'm not sure what your thoughts on it is, but don't you agree that procrastination is more like a silent killer, that did not make anybody like motivate themselves to get out and do stuff?
I think so. That's what I hear too, is oh, I want to be a influencer, you know. I want to have the most followers, and I want to, you know, and they get addicted or get hooked into this, you know, likes and followers and all of that. And you got to watch out, you know, it can really corrupt you.
Totally.
You know?
Okay, so I want to go back to the beginning. Okay, so before the books and films and all these other cool stuff that you did, which is great, who was Deborah growing up? I mean, did she see like musicians in the future, or did she want to be something else? Because I've been there. I've been asked what I want to do. I wanted to be a race car driver. I wanted to be this. I wanted to be so many things, but all of that led to this moment in time where I'm talking to you right now about music. This is what I'm meant to do, But who was young Deborah growing up?
I was actually a dancer. I was primarily a dancer, and you know, hey, does dance exist without music?
I
Good
wonder.
question, huh?
Yeah, because it's like
I
chicken
mean,
or the egg, you know?
you know, yeah, I mean, really, music, you put music on and then you dance, right? So, you know, I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, it's a, you know, yeah, what's the
That's
answer?
just a
But it's
fun question.
interesting that, you know, as a dancer, I was always dancing to music. So I was primarily a movement-centered person. I could not sit still. And music, I'm sorry, dance became that avenue for me to move. And through that, by, you know, when I was young, I was taking ballet and all of that, and I was introduced to classical music through that. My dad played piano. We were a very musical family at home. My mom was a singer. She wanted to be a singer, but she had to go to work. It was during World War II, and so she couldn't pursue her career. So she kind of lived vicariously through me when I got into musical theater. But so anyway, I was primarily a dancer. So I had two loves. By the time I was 12 years old, I was passionate about dance and the French language. Yes, so I started, you know, studying French in in school, community, what do you call it? Middle school now. It was junior high when I was there, and so those were my two passions all the way up until, and then music, because music, you know, my dad played. We all played, we all sang. My mom taught me how to sing harmony. So music was just part of my family life. You know, I don't ever remember not having singing in my life. So that was, those were, that's who I was. I was an absolute tomboy running around outside, climbing trees, and you know, I just absolutely constantly moving. I knew I could not sit in an office. And so As far as being a musician, however, this is really interesting. I did not get any music lessons when I was a kid. My two brothers got music lessons, but I didn't. I only got the dance lessons so that I could be graceful enough to get a husband.
Right, okay.
That's where it was back then,
Yeah,
right?
right, you're right.
And also, my parents didn't want me around musicians because they had a bad reputation.
Yep,
You
bad
know,
rap. Yeah,
drugs
yeah.
and stuff like that, and they didn't want their only daughter hanging out with musicians. Ironically, I fell in love with a musician, right?
Oh,
Yeah.
right, yeah.
So, you know, dance, French, and music have been the soul of my life, truly. But music, oh, I was going to say, I did not call myself a musician because I was only a singer. And I was really a dancer who sang. I've never felt like that. I had this really unique, very powerful voice. I was a dancer who sang, and I didn't play an instrument. I played a little bit of guitar in high school, but I didn't really know what I was playing. I would just memorize the chords, and we were in a little folk trio, me and two friends, two girlfriends, you know, we were in a folk trio. But I didn't know what I was doing. It wasn't until 14 years ago that I picked up the bass, electric bass. Only 14 years ago. And I fell in love with the bass. And I finally went, oh, I found my instrument. And I started learning music theory and I started really working hard. Not working, it was play. I mean, I was
Play,
absolutely
but yeah.
passionate about the bass. So I finally felt like, oh, I feel comfortable calling myself a musician now. And I've become a better singer for it too, because my ear has gotten better by playing bass. And it has taken the place of dance for me now, because I can't dance anymore.
I can't dance anyway, so we're two peas in
Yeah.
the pod.
Yeah. Exactly. So I can't do that anymore. So the bass actually is because the bass is really rhythm. You know, it you it, the bass, electric bass or upright bass is part of the rhythm section of a band. Working tightly with the drummer.
Backbone.
And yeah, and because of my dance background, I can count anything. I mean, give me a song. I don't care what key signature, what time signature it's in. I can count it. So I had that going for me. So with the bass, it's taken the place of dance for me. So, yeah.
There's so many ways to go with it, with the next question. I'm like, where do I go for this? So this was a lot of information, but it's good, because it's so like, cathartic, because there's
So let's see. So all the way through my second year in college, I was a dance and French major. And then after my second year of college, I said, well, look, if I'm going to do something with dance professionally, I got to do it now. So I was like 22, 23, and I decided to quit school and start dancing
That is
professionally.
his college years, right?
Yeah, so
Oh,
I was a second year in college,
okay.
majoring in dance and French, and I said, look, am I going to go the French route right now or the dance route? I sort of had to make a decision, you know, what was going to be my career. And I realized, well, I can do French later, but I can't dance professionally later. You got to be young in order to dance professionally. So I decided to go that route and take my chances and see what happened. So I quit school and I started auditioning and, you know, did a number of different things, dinner theater. I was in a dance troupe that sang. We did a lot of really amazing dances with top hats and scarves, kind of very Las Vegas kind of thing. And we sang. We opened for different stars back in the day, and then I got the job with Sammy Davis Jr.
That's right. Yeah, 'cause
Yeah.
so what did
So.
okay, so working with Sammy, which is amazing in itself, what did that experience teach you? You know, I mean, like, yeah, what did that experience teach you?
Well, that's a good question. I know everybody wants to hear about the time, my time with Sammy Davis Jr. And it actually was a kind of a difficult time for me.
Really?
Personally, I was not in a good place.
Okay.
I had a lot of issues, like family issues, trauma that I needed to work through, which was really it was a very difficult time for me at that point, and I was terribly insecure. And I look back at myself now, and I think, my gosh, what was my problem? I was good looking. I had really, I mean, I look back now and I had a lot of talent as a dancer, but I didn't have the confidence. And I think part of that comes from the times that we were raised in, because my parents were from the World War II generation, and they, we were really trained that being modest was really important. Vanity was one of the 10 deadly sins, the 10 sins in life, right? And so that was really kind of like trained. We were trained, don't think you're good, so I really was terribly self-conscious and not really, not really in a good place while I was doing that show. But I have to say, I mean, looking back, I was terribly, grateful, and it was an honor to work for him. I mean, he is truly one of the most incredible stars, dancers, triple threat, dancer, singer, actor,
You can do
coming out of
everything.
vaudeville, ever, ever. Tap dancer, incredible tap dancer. I don't know if you've ever seen any of his old. So, what an amazing honor to work with him. I only wish that I had had more confidence to really feel like to feel like I deserved to be there. I did not think I deserved to be in that position, which is sad. So I didn't really take advantage of the show as much as I could have. But it, you know, I, you know, you learn by growth and experience, and
Do you think that he noticed that you weren't very aware of your presence on the set? I mean, did he try to reach out and oh, okay, it's gonna be okay, you're doing great. Did he do
No,
anything? No.
no. I mean, this was, a professional show, and we were expected to be on there. I don't know. I mean, whether anybody noticed it or not, potentially, maybe they did. All I know is that, there were moments when I could have really been joyful and very, enjoying the show, and I really wasn't. Only because of my attitude, where I was at in my life, prevented me from really appreciating the amazing experience that I was in, but not but it was still, I mean, there were some amazing moments. I remember we went over to his apartment in Chicago. So we toured San Diego, Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York. And in Chicago, he had an apartment downtown, by the water tower, and he invited us over to his apartment, and he cooked for us. He cooked. He was in the kitchen making pasta. And I remember Jesse Jackson was there. I mean, this was amazing. But little old me, I was in the corner, too shy to say anything to
What?
anybody.
Oh
Yes,
my God, you got two of the greatest people over there and you didn't
I
even talk to
know.
them?
And it's like, and it was just me. It was my head was screwed up, and so, that was unfortunate. But and then the other amazing experience was when we got to New York City. We danced, we performed at Lincoln Center. I mean, come on, it was amazing. And one day I went down, I used to go downstairs before the show and warm up. And below Lincoln Center, below that big patio, what you call it, big, area up top where the fountain is and all that. Below that, it was like two stories worth of, I believe, two stories worth of rehearsal rooms. And every room has a piano, mirrors, bars, hardwood floors. I mean, beautiful studios, right? Ballet studios, or if you will, or recording studios. So anyway, one day I was down there, and every rehearsal room was filled. And I walked down this hallway, and I opened the door, and there was Mikhail Baryshnikov. You know the dancer, ballet dancer, Mikhail Baryshnikov.
I'm not
I
very
mean,
familiar with her.
he has always been my all-time favorite male ballet dancer. There was Rudolf Nureyev, and then there was Mikhail Baryshnikov, and he to me, he was like the
We
epitome
love it. Yeah.
of ballet for men, male ballet dancer. I open the door, there he is standing there, and I'm like, oh my God. And so I quickly shut the door and I started walking back down the hallway, and I thought, I wonder if maybe he's already finished his rehearsal. Maybe I should
Go back in
ask
there and don't ring out.
him. Right? Maybe I should talk to him. Why not? Well, I finally did. I said, you know what? I turned around, I walked down the hallway, opened the door again, and I said, excuse me, I was just wondering, are you finished? I'm looking for a place to warm up. And he's like, oh no, he goes, I'm waiting for my partner to come. We're about ready to start rehearsal, but please come in and warm up while we're waiting. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm gonna warm up in front of Mikhail Baryshnikov. So, but I did. I went to the way to the back corner, and I did my little ballet bar and did my stretching. And then a few minutes later, his ballerina partner walked in, and I recognized her. It's Patricia McBride. And the pianist walked in, and they started rehearsing. And I sat down on the floor and watched them, the only person in the room besides them, and watched them rehearse their pas de deux, their duet together. That was amazing. So I had some incredible moments during that tour. I only wish that I would have taken more advantage of it if I had been in a better place. Just me, if I
Just
had been in a
you.
better place. Yeah.
Going back to you said, well, I don't know if you actually said this because I'm very interested now. But during the dark times, like you couldn't think of like I shouldn't be here. I don't know what it is, you know. Is there one specific song that you always went to get yourself out of that,
That
it
space.
yes, that out of that bad energy, you know?
Yeah, it was not music for me. It was
Okay.
dance.
Dance.
Yeah, it
Okay.
was
Okay.
dance. Yeah. So that was my go-to when I needed to, when I was really in a bad place. It was movement. So I was either dancing or walking or running or biking or something. I would take long, long bike rides when I was in a really bad place, for example. So yeah, it was for me, it was movement. The music now, the music came much later for me. If we talk about now it's music. But then I can't move like I used to. So now, yeah. So now it's, and writing now for me,
Writing is very cathartic, and it releases a bunch of negative feeling emotions, you let out, you know. Because right here, a
Yeah.
lot of musicians felt like that, like writing is very much healing, for
Yeah,
them.
writing. And I've kept a journal my whole life since I was 13. So it's like sometimes I think I should burn them. Because usually you write in a journal when you're when you're having a hard time. You don't write in your journal as much when you're having a good time, but you write in your journal. So, if anybody read my journals, you'd think that my life was just horrible, It's like you always write about the bad stuff, I'm having such a hard time, and this is happening, and but I have used writing all my life, I think, as a way struggling through. But we all have our struggles in life, right? And you look at some people, they've got everything, put together and all that. But I struggled a lot. I had my mom, God rest her soul, I love her and I've forgiven her, but she was an alcoholic. And so that was very, very difficult for me as a child. I was the only daughter. I had two younger brothers, and I never knew what I was going to get when I got home. I would call her like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. She wasn't drinking. She was wonderful, vibrant, vivacious, beautiful singer, dancer, beautiful person. But if she had been drinking, she got pretty mean. So, I got slapped when I was 8 years old for, oh, get this. I got slapped when I was 8 years old for singing a song.
That's okay.
That was, that took me years to figure out why I had such fear of singing by myself in a microphone. I finally have worked through that, but it took me years to figure out what was going on. I could sing with a group. I could sing harmonies. So I always basically in bands I sang background harmony, like two or three singers in the background that would sing the harmony for the lead, because I was deathly afraid. There was something about singing by myself that scared the hell out of me. It was crazy. And I finally kind of I figured it out over mi decades, over decades. I finally found a paperweight of me in a brownie uniform, and I o turned over the paperweight, and it was in my hand, my mom's handwriting, Debbie, 8 years old. And I had a brownie uniform on, like the brownie uniforms before Girl Scouts,
With the brown fancy.
Well, yeah. Well, I realized that that's how old I was when she slapped me, because I was only in brownies for a couple of months. Because what happened was, we went on an overnight trip to the mountains, and on the way home on the bus, it was summertime, right? The summer camp leaders taught us a song. It was 99 bottles of beer on the wall,
Wall
99
99,
bottles of
right? Yeah,
beer,
take one down to the
take one down, pass it around, 98 bottles of beer. Well, I just love that song. We sang it all the way home for 2 hours. Well, the reason I loved it at 8 years old was because it was about counting backwards. That's all I got out of it. It was like, that's really cool. I never thought about counting backwards before. I loved it because of that. And so I got home, and it was like early evening when I got off the bus. My mom said, "Hey, how was your trip?" And I said, "Oh man, it was great, Mom. I had so much fun. And we learned this song." And I started singing the song, and she hauled off and slapped me. I was in the kitchen. I remember exactly where I was. Hauled off and slapped me, and she said, "Don't you ever sing that song again," and turned around and walked away. I never said a word again about it. And I didn't understand. It stung. I was crying, and my mom was gone, and she never explained. Well, it was about later on, years, there, decades later, I was like, oh, it was because it was about alcohol.
Beer. Oh, right. Well, yeah, beer, right?
It was about alcohol. So then the next day, I hear her on the phone with a brownie troop leader yelling at the leader saying, "How dare you? teach this song to my daughter, and she pulled me out of brownies.
Yeah.
And I was never able to go to brownies again. So that paperweight was a clue as to when that happened for me. I remembered that I had been slapped, but I kind of just went, oh, well, big deal. Some people get more than that from their
Right,
parents. They
right.
get whipped or abused, right? So it's one slap, no big deal. But it was traumatic. It was very, very much traumatic. And I think that led to me having a big problem with singing, certainly singing solo.
Right.
As long as I was singing with other people, I was okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very traumatic.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm so sorry about it. Okay, so you said you picked up the bass 14 years ago?
Only 14 years ago,
Okay.
yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
so do you think that that was the enabler for you to pick up the bass? Because bass guitarists are always in the back,
Yeah.
throwing down, And since you said, I mean, there's, because I, from what I get, you are very shy when you were growing up,
Yeah. Yeah.
Basses aren't in the forefront of the band. They're more in the
Exactly.
back or the side,
Exactly.
So
I am
so
exactly.
my question is, did the bass pick you, or did you subconsciously pick the bass because of what happened in your earlier life?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah.
All I remember is I got back together with Craig Ingram, right? So the
Right.
story is, we went together for 7 years when we were young, and then we lost track of each other in the craziness of sex, drugs, rock and roll, and the
All
Vietnam
that
War.
looks once, right? Yeah.
And we found each other again 26 years later, and we got back together again.
Well.
And so he was 100% musician. Now, if you want to talk about somebody that, I mean, that's all he knew. I mean, music was his
Music
sacred
was lit.
place.
Yeah.
That was it, totally. And so he had a guitar or a bass, or whatever, hanging out all over the house. I mean, there's a guitar next to the couch, Well, there happened to be a bass sitting next to the couch in the den. And one day I picked it up, and that was it. I picked it up, and I don't know, something clicked. I just went, oh my God, this is amazing. Now, Craig was there, so he started teaching me. And he taught me good technique, but he also taught me music theory. He taught me about music theory. And it was interesting because I had a really good ear, so I could sing anything. I mean, give me something, I could hear it, I could sing it. But I didn't know what I was singing, so I didn't understand music, and it certainly has never been easy for me either. It's certainly not like Craig or some people who just they understand music. It's just it,
Of the
like
natural
he,
room,
for example, yeah, he was able to, for example, intervals. Like if in classes in voice classes. They will say, okay, let's work on intervals. And basically, you'll take the tonic, like C, and you'll say, okay, sing me a 1-4. So C, D, E, F, C, F, C, F, C, F, 1-4, right? Okay,
Right.
I want to hear a 1-6. C, 1-6, whatever. And so you learn, that's ear training in music and in singing, ear training to learn intervals. Sing me a 1 flat 5. Sing me a 1-4, 1-3, 1-2. You should be able to sing those. He had no problem with that whatsoever. Now me, I have to count up the scale, C, D, E, F, G. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 5. Okay. But he could just, I mean, in one of the classes he was in, the teacher was at the piano. You couldn't see his hands. And he said, okay, class, raise your hand when you know what interval this is. And he would play two notes, 1, 5. Tell me what that is. His hand shot up every time. He knew it. Nobody in the class did it except for him. So I don't know where that comes from. It was like he was born with it or something. But music for me has never been easy, but I fell in love with it. So, late in life, I finally started learning music theory. So he would help me. So when we would drive, like take long car trips, We'd listen to music and you'd go, okay, what key is this in? Where's the tonic? I'm like, I don't know, right? You know, yeah, what's
what's the
the
tonic,
one?
right? Yeah.
You know, yeah, where's the note that this whole song revolves around, you know? And then where is it going? Is it going to the four chord? Is it going to the five chord? You know, rock and roll is a lot of it is 1-4-5. So you know, he helped me with that. And I started then I fell in love with the whole idea of music. Again, I don't I'm not that good. I work really hard at it, but I love it. You know, it's and the bass has really helped me. And I've always jokingly said that, you know, six strings, a guitar was too many strings, but four strings
Four strings I can deal with. Six
four
strings
strings I can
is
do,
yeah.
yeah, and you're playing one at a time, you know,
Right. Yeah.
for the most part, right? Yeah.
So with the bass now, what song do you love playing to the most right now?
Yeah, well, I joined a band in
Okay.
July,
Okay.
which just kind of happened. I really wasn't looking to do that, but and truly at my age, I never thought that I would join it. Be I am the bass player in a band, and I
Yes.
can't believe it.
Yes.
I am like so excited about that, and I'm loving it. So I joined the band last July, and so I basically have been learning all of their material,
Right.
and that's been all over the place. A lot of 70s, 80s,
Okay.
kind of pop, mostly pop. And then the
Okay.
guitar player also writes songs, so he writes some really fun songs. So basically, I was the new person. They had lost their bass player, and I came into the band. They had been together already for 1.5 years and had 100 songs that they could play. And I was working my butt off learning all these songs. So that's been really fun. Prior to that, I spent a lot of time, I would put a bass playlist together, you know, of some of my favorite songs with really cool bass lines. I played a lot of James Taylor, interestingly enough,
Ooh, yeah.
which I never, I like, listening to James Taylor to me was, I thought, well, this should be pretty simple stuff. It's not. James Taylor has some really beautiful changes in his music, and I've learned a lot. And of course, his bass player, Lee Sklar, Leland
I
Sklar,
love him.
is
Yes.
so tasty.
Yes.
So I have really spent a lot of time playing James Taylor songs. So that's one artist I've really enjoyed. So yeah, but you know, I basically was playing by myself because Craig passed away. So you know, I have just been playing on my own, and I got kind of bored. I kind of ran out of, you know, it's like, oh, same old, you know, playlist. I need to, you know, I would listen to videos and learn, you know, technique and stuff like that. And then, you know, just happened to meet this guitar player, and he's like, oh, you play bass? I'm like, well, yeah, sort of, you know. And he's like, well, you want to come over and see what happens?
You're
And
like,
it just
yes,
clicked.
Yes.
Yeah, and I said okay, and he goes, well, it's tonight, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know,
I'm in the car right now. Yeah.
I think if it had been next week, I might have talked myself out of it, you know,
Right. Yeah.
but I it was I went and it clicked immediately, and we've just been having so much fun, and now I've been working hard at trying to get over this trauma. This
Yeah.
fear, this abject fear about singing solo. And I'm
Okay.
very proud that now I am actually doing one song in the band where I am singing solo and I'm playing walking bass. And I'm
Nice.
so
Yes.
proud of myself, you
Yes, you
know?
should be. Congratulations.
Thank
Yeah. Yeah.
you. Yeah, so I'm really happy.
Just think, if you procrastinated, which goes back to our earlier conversation, you probably would never join the band. So I commend you
Exactly.
for
Yeah, exactly.
that's
Yeah.
so great.
I might have talked myself out of it, you
Oh,
know. I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
yeah, you know, I'm not good enough. They don't want me. Why would they want me? That kind of thing. You know, that negative talk
Yeah,
that gets in your mind.
it's so easy to talk yourself out of something as opposed to doing something, you know?
I
Yeah,
know. Yeah.
which is weird, but your mind, depression, the subject we're talking about most, it's an evil beast that doesn't care about what you know. Or do
Yes,
you
I
just
think,
gotta fight with it, you know, all the time?
you know, I had a revelation, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago now,
Yeah.
and I thought to myself, you know, my mind just goes off and you know, I spiral downwards into this depression, and it's just, you know, it's no good. Why do I do this? And I thought to myself, no, wait a second. If I can If my mind can tell my body to do things, if my mind tells me to, you know, pick up a glass of water,
Right.
I do it, no problem, right? Well, I'm going to tell my mind to think positive and cut out all of this negativity. I'm going to control the way I think. If I can control my body and my hands, I'm going to control my mind.
Right.
So I've been working really hard on that. And one of the things I noticed is one thought, it seems like one thought can trigger you to start that spiral downwards into depression. And if I can catch it and say, oh, wait a second, I started thinking negatively here. Why? That's ridiculous. Cut it out.
Right.
And think positively instead, you know, think, you know, gratitude, right? Or wait a second, you know, things are not so bad. You know, be grateful for where you're at. So that I've been working really hard on trying to control my thoughts and not let myself spiral downward into negative thoughts. You know, not easy.
No, it's not. It really is not. You know, a lot of people think it is, but it's more to it than
And
just
for me, it's trying to catch it
yeah.
at the beginning, catch it
Right.
when it first starts, when that first negativity starts, and just go, nope, I'm not
Nope.
going there.
Right. Right. Which
Done. Out.
again is hard to do, but it's doable. You know,
It
you
is
can,
doable.
yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if we work out, we work out. You know, people work hard and think a lot about physical health. Right? You
Right.
know, staying in shape, eating right, all of that other stuff. But we forget there's mental health, you know, and think, you know, observing how we're thinking and, you know, trying not to get into this crazy, you know, state of mind, you know, trying to stay calm and joyful and, you know, trying to stay in that state of gratitude. You
Yeah.
know, and positive. I think if you can, you know, if you can, and just kind of catch yourself when you start thinking negative.
You're
I spent a lot of time in that space, you know,
right.
not liking myself, hating myself, spiraling downward into depression. You know, I'm not going there anymore.
Amen to that. Yes. Yeah, I love that. I love that. So, let's
Another,
talk. Oh, yeah, go
well,
ahead. Go ahead.
one more little thought that I had, and
Yeah.
my brother taught me this, and I just love it. When you say I have to do this, instead say I get to do this, and the whole attitude changes, you know? It's
Right.
like, oh, I have to go to work. No, I get to go to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got a job. I mean, it may not be the best job in the world, but make the best of it. You know, gee, I get to go to work. You know, I get whatever it is.
Not a
I
lot of
get
people
to.
can say that. You know, there's a
Yeah.
lot of Americans and a lot of other people that do not do anything, you know, can't do anything, you know.
Yeah.
So just, yeah, I agree.
So, you know, when I have to do something, it sounds negative, right?
Right,
I have to do this, you
right.
know? Well, I get to go to work. Bombs aren't falling on my head. I'm gonna make some money today. I can buy dinner tonight or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, I get to do certain things, and I think that's keeps you in a state of gratitude again. So yeah. Anyway, there you go.
All
That's
right, all
my
right.
jewels of wisdom in my old age.
So let's talk about your book now, Free to Press,
Sure.
and I love the premises of it because it follows two young lovers whose lives are shaped by music, culture, and everything about the 60s, right? And
Yes.
I love the 60s, especially the music, because my dad's a retired colonel now, but he was in the Vietnam War,
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I remember watching a lot of 60s war movies with some of the greatest music in history. Of course, you get your classic CCR, Fortunate Son, and your
Yeah.
Hendrix and your Beatles, and it's just
Right.
amazing. Yeah, so
Yeah, that
but
was the era of this
right
band.
yeah yeah
Yeah, for sure. Psychedelic rock.
yes,
No?
lots of
Yeah.
weed going on there, right there,
Lots of weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, psychedelics just came in. Women got birth control. It
Yep.
was a crazy time,
The wild time, right?
Wild. Yeah, really wild. Yeah.
So,
Yeah, Freedom Quest. Yeah, I
yes.
love
Yes,
that.
let's talk about that now.
I want to show you the book cover.
Yes.
There you go. Can
All
you
right,
see that?
yeah. Yes, fam. All right. I
Yeah,
love
so
it. I love it. Yeah.
the Vietnam War. So yeah, I met so the protagonist is in real life is his name is Craig Ingraham, and but I as I said, I changed all the names, and I did that because all of this happened a long time ago, and some of it I don't even remember if it, exactly how it went down, and then a lot of the stories that are in here were told to me secondhand from his friends. When I wasn't around, I learned a lot about some of the bands that he was in and some of the places that he played and all of that stuff. So those stories came to me secondhand. So I don't know how much they were exaggerated
Right.
or that kind of thing. So I couldn't decide whether I wanted to do it as a true story or as a novel based on a true story. So I finally opted for novel based on a true story.
Okay.
And I'm really glad I did it that way, because I didn't want people coming at me and saying, "Well, that's not the way it happened." And I'm like, that's how I remember it. Yeah,
Right.
that's how it was told to me. And it's like, so and then the other thing is there's some really kind of dark areas of the book. I don't know if you've got a chance to read it or not, but so we meet, we fall in love. I'm 15, Craig is 18, and he's Michael in the book, and I'm Grace. So Grace and Michael meet. I'm 15, he's 18. He had just graduated from high school. I hadn't even started high school yet. So that was kind of difficult, the age difference. But we fell madly in love. And but I was going to high school and he graduated already. And back in the day, all the musicians would get fake IDs so they could play in the bars and clubs. So at 18, he was already playing in over 21 bars and clubs, and he was on the road. He already had a manager, and he had a band, and he was on the road. So I would get phone calls from pay booths, pay phones. The motels they stayed in didn't have phones in the room, and so he'd have to go down to the pay phone at night, and he'd give me a call before he went on for his gig. So that was our relationship. Yeah, for almost 3 years until I finally graduated from high school. So we went together though. I mean, I loved him, and he called me every night, and we made plans to get married and everything. And then after I graduated from high school, I decided to go away to college, and I was like, oh no, I mean, you're gonna be gone again. And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm gonna go get away. I wanted to get away from my parents, really, my mom and everything. And so I went away, but I only stayed away a year. I couldn't take
You
it. I
couldn't, right? Yeah, have
missed
a
it
dorm
so
dream up,
much.
right.
So then I came back and we moved down to San Diego together and we started living together. And I was 23, he was 26, and we got engaged to be married. And that's when he formed the Freedom Quest band.
Okay.
And that was, he had had bands from the age of 14. So he was 26 now, and this Freedom Quest band was probably the best band he ever had. It was a 9-piece band with David Benoit on keyboards. Now, David Benoit is a well-known recording artist. He's got Grammys. He's had a very good recording career, and he also does a show on K-Jazz radio station in LA. And so David Benoit on keyboards, Craig was the lead. All his original music, he played guitar and did all the lead singing. And we had drummer Elvio Ditta. Brian McNess was an incredible bass player. We had a percussionist, Soti Arcia. We had violin, Bill Richardson on violin and vocals, and a flute player, Maxine Sherman, and three background singers. So it was a huge, incredible band. And the music from that period is streaming. You can hear it on Spotify and any other streaming service. All these incredible songs written by Craig Ingram, and they've all got the huge these jams in the middle, that last 4 minutes long,
Right, right.
That was the time when the songs were 6 or 7 minutes long, and but unfortunately the band was very short-lived. So the story, talks about how the band broke up. Unfortunately, Craig was recording these songs and was talking to a couple of record companies about potentially getting a record deal. And he ran out of money. He was recording in the studio and he ran out of money. And one of the roadies said, "Hey man, I know how we can get you some money real quick. We can do a drug deal. We can sell a couple of kilos and
Oh
I
yeah,
can turn it around, man, in 24 hours." Well, it turns out he set Craig up. He was working for the feds. He was
Yeah.
on probation. And that happened a lot back then.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So he set him up, and the minute the marijuana changed hands, the police swarmed in and took him to jail.
Yeah.
And the band broke up, the record deal fell apart, and I left him. So he spiraled down into a horrible, very, very dark place. He went to jail for 3 days and then to honor camp for 6 weeks. And when he got out, I told him, "You know what? This is too crazy. I can't do this anymore." So I left him, and he ended up went back up to LA with the percussionist. The percussionist, Soti Arcia, is the only person who stayed with him. They went back up to LA. They pounded the pavement trying to get a record deal still, tried to put the band back together. Everybody was too busy at that point. They'd all moved on. And then he gave up. And then he got notification that I had gotten married, or that I was getting married. I was engaged to get married. I moved on, and he lost it. He sold all his musical equipment, except for one guitar, and moved to Hawaii. And when he got over in Hawaii, they were playing tennis, and then he was, singing music out on the sand, with some just hanging out. And he met this guy at the tennis courts, Diamond Head Tennis Center. And the guy, it turned out to be a cult leader, and he got involved with a cult. And he spiraled downward into this terrible, terrible place. And he was involved in this cult where he was not only mentally abused, but physically abused. He almost lost his hand at one point. He was in the hospital for almost a week with gangrene in his
Oh
hand.
no. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, that's the story, the story of, we lost track of each other. He, ends up in a cult. I end up getting married and start raising babies. So the middle section of the book is this, very contrasted dichotomy. He's, in this cult, and I'm
Somewhere
raising little
else,
kids,
yeah.
watching Sesame Street, absolutely diametrically opposed lives.
Right.
And then, and the way I met him the first time, he was my brother's guitar teacher.
Okay.
So that's kind of the opening scene of chapter one, is when he meets my brother, and my brother has this bandage on his hand, and he goes, "Whoa, what happened to your hand?" And he goes, "Oh, my big sister did it." And so, Michael's like, "Oh, I got to meet her."
Right.
So that's how we met the first time. And then fast forward, 26 years later, I have a 15-year-old son, my youngest son, and I'm looking for a guitar teacher for my son. And Craig Ingram, Michael,
Right.
walks back into my life.
Nice.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. So, and then, we were together 20 years before he passed away, and that's when we did the documentary, the Vietnam story, that
Yeah.
we did a documentary together. So that's in the book also. It's part of his redemption process, making the documentary, and I was able to help him with that.
Right.
So that's really wonderful.
And people could get this on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and bookshop.org.
Yeah, bookshop.org is a really cool website where you could actually give credit to your local independent bookstore.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Wow. Yeah.
so it's real nice. If you don't want to use Amazon, you can bookshop.org is pretty cool. So you just choose whatever bookstore you want, independent bookstore, and then they get some credit for it. So,
Yeah.
and then I've been doing book signings. I've been in San Diego and LA and Chicago, where I live now. And hopefully to do more book signings and book clubs, book discussions and stuff like that. So
Cool stuff.
yeah, it's been really fun. Yeah, it's been really amazing.
All right.
It's been
And
great.
people can contact you if they want to, if they want the actual book signed, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. If they go to my website, deboramasterson.com. And
Yes.
Debra is spelled without, it's spelled kind of unusual. It's
Without the
D-E.
H. No
Yeah,
H.
Debora, no H.
Yes.
Debora, no H.
No
Yeah.
H. Yeah.
And they can go to my website, and they can request a signed copy, and they can Zelle me, or
PayPal or whatever.
PayPal, right? Zelle or PayPal, I think it's up
Yeah.
there.
Okay.
Yeah, and they can get a signed copy from me. Yeah, and I'll mail it
Cool.
out to them. So yeah, and I'm
No.
available if anybody wants to do a book club. I could do a Zoom book club. And I'm getting really good response on the book. Oh my gosh.
Great.
Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. It's just
Yeah.
amazing. I got two really strong editorial reviews recently. One from Midwest Book Review, and the other is from Reader's Favorite, which is they're both like reputable review organizations for books. So I'm very happy with that. And things are going well.
I
Yeah.
got one little small fun thing to do with you, and then I'll let you go. But I deeply, deeply want you to come back anytime you want to, okay?
Oh, thank
All right.
you.
So we can do a quick lightning round. I'm going to ask you this or this, and you'll just give me an answer or whatever you want to, however you want to answer it, you can answer it, okay?
Okay,
All
you
right.
got it.
So favorite bass line of all time.
Ba-da-da-da-dum, ba-da-bum, ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-ba-ba, rescue
Yes.
me.
All
Fontella Bass. Oh, I'm
right. Blinking out.
blanking on the
Yeah.
bass player, but
It happened.
everybody
Yeah.
knows who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. What artist do you wish you could have shared a stage with?
Aretha Franklin.
Perfect. A song that always makes you smile.
Smile by Charlie Chaplin.
Perfect.
I
That was given, right? That was a freebie, right? Yeah, so.
just sang it at a club last night. I
Oh,
was so
okay.
proud of myself. I did
Yeah.
a solo with a jazz band, Smile, lyrics by Charlie. Chaplin, not music, but lyrics by Charlie Chaplin, and everybody loved it. I'm like,
Nice.
yes, I am fighting this fear that I had.
A song that makes you emotional every time you hear it.
I'm blanking on the title. It's "These Days" by Van Morrison.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
Yeah,
a
that's a
beautiful song.
yeah, that's a
Beautiful
very deep.
song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so vinyl, CD, streaming, or live music?
Say that again.
Vinyl, CD, streaming, or live music?
Well, live music number one.
It's gotta be. Yeah, right. It's gotta
And
be.
then it's streaming for me.
Yeah, okay,
So
okay.
I pay for Apple Music because I want to be able to look up a song anytime. If I'm reading a book and somebody mentions a song, I can immediately pull it up with Apple Music. So I pay, I think it's 50, I don't know how much it is, $10 a month, $15 a month. I
I
pay
think
for
it's
that.
like $10, yeah.
Yeah, just so I have access to any music, pretty much any music that I want anytime. If I'm walking along and I go, oh, I would love to hear this song right now,
Boom,
I
you got
pull it
it.
up, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah, I
So
agree.
it's worth it to me to have that. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I'm sorry. The title of the Van Morrison song is "Days Like This."
I love that song. Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
That's a
So,
powerful song too, yeah.
yeah. And it reminds me of Craig because it was one of the songs that he played a lot just before he passed away.
Yeah. You
So,
got me wanting to listen to that song now. I love that song. I
I
love
know.
that song.
Thank you. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real special one for me because of the fact that it was really one of his most favorite songs
Yeah.
just before he died. Yeah.
I
I
got a
miss
few,
him.
yeah. I got a few more for you.
Okay.
If you had a theme song, what would it be?
Jeez, I've never thought of that before.
Yeah. If
Yeah.
you if well, let's put it this way.
Oh.
If somebody made a movie about your life, what would the opening music be? You know, bring out the
Yeah.
whole atmosphere of the movie.
Okay, hold on. Lake.
Okay.
Hold on. Lake Street Dive. Have you ever heard of a band called Lake Street Dive?
I have not.
Okay, that you got to look them up.
Okay. Lake
Let's
Street
see
Dive.
if I can come up. Oh, there it is. Okay, I got the album. Hold on a second.
Okay.
It's a song called "Nobody's Stopping You Now."
Okay.
Very powerful, and it's for women. "Nobody's Stopping You Now." It's a beautiful song, and it sort of is along the lines of what I was talking about, where you're just dragged down and you're feeling depressed and all of that. And I love that band. They're an awesome band. They all come out of Boston School of Music or Emerson College. I can't remember, but anyway, they're all out of Boston, and they're called Lake Street Dive, LSD for short.
Right. Oh, I wonder if they actually playing that.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
cool. I'll have to definitely look them up. Yeah, cool. All right, Lake Street Dive. One musician you'd invite to dinner, living or gone. One
I'm
musician.
sorry, one musician I'd invite to dinner.
Yeah, living or not here
Oh,
anymore.
living or not, or living or gone. James Taylor. Oh no, Joni Mitchell.
Harp.
Oh,
Well, I'm going with
both. How about both?
well, no, because I was gonna say, I'm funny thing is, I'm going to see James Taylor September 11th of this year. So,
Oh, I love it.
if
That's
and
great.
when I get to talk to him, I'll send him over to your house right now.
Oh
Yeah,
man,
yeah,
I know. And
that'll be
Joni
fun.
Mitchell. Joni
Yeah.
Mitchell has been like my I don't know,
Aura, yeah.
my favorite.
There you
Yeah,
go.
her Blue album that came out in 1971,
Okay,
sitting in the
yeah.
park in Paris, France, reading the news and it sure looks bad. That was my life. I went over to Paris, France, and I was studying over there in 1971, and I came back. And, Vietnam War was happening, all this other stuff was happening, and I'm over in Paris, France, looking back on the United States, going, whoa, what is going on, with the Vietnam War. And I came back, and then that Blue album came out, and I was like, she's like talking to me. It's
Right,
like, this is
yeah.
my
This
life.
is man,
It
this
was,
is it.
yeah. So I she's what, like, number one on my list as far as artists are
All right.
concerned.
What talent do people not know you have?
A lot of people don't realize I speak French fluently,
Okay.
Yeah. So
I hear that's one of the hard, that's one of the ones that are the hardest languages to learn ever. Besides German,
yeah, I mean,
but then again, I guess, yeah.
I'll tell you, it one of the hardest things about it's a damn spelling. The
Oh,
pronunciation and the
right, yeah.
spelling don't go together, So that's really hard. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's really hard.
Yeah. I have two uncles
Beautiful language.
that were
Okay.
born in France, but they don't speak any kind of French at all,
Seriously? Wow.
which is weird,
Wow.
so
Yeah. Yeah.
okay, so two more. Okay, so favorite city you've ever performed in or danced in?
Chicago.
Chicago. Perfect.
I love Chicago.
Now, my next question would be, what is currently on your playlist? So we're gonna dive that down to what's your favorite top five songs on your playlist right now?
Well, like I said, Lake Street
But
Dive.
yep.
Love that band. Just about anything that they have. Top five playlist. What am I listening to lately?
But we can add James Taylor to it, right? James
Yeah,
Taylor, Van
been
Morrison,
listening to
yeah.
James Taylor a lot. Actually, let's see. I'm gonna go to. Let's see if I can go to my. What have I been listening to? My history, right?
Yeah.
Oh, here's a great song.
Okay.
Up with the Jones, Up with the Jones by Bahamas, Bahamas.
Right.
But it's one guy. It's
It's
not a
one
band.
guy.
One
Yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
And I love his music, and that's a great song. I've been listening to Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks lately, because I'm doing one of their songs, I'm an Old Cowhand.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande. There's another incredible album, and I know the guy, and he's one of those musicians that is just playing music, and he should be a huge star.
Could be,
And
yeah.
he is so talented. And the title of the album is Steakhouse Mints, Mints, Steakhouse Mints. And it's such a great album. Oh, sorry. Such a great album. So that's the, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Nice.
there you go.
So everybody can go to Deborah without the H, no H. DeborahMasterson.com. You can order her book, see what she's up to. See her gallery. Cause okay, so you have a gallery of you throughout the years, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are awesome. I love them.
Thank you. And it's funny, I look at some of those pictures and I look at them now and I'm like, wow, I was pretty good looking. But back in the day, all I did was criticize myself. Oh, my nose is crooked. Oh, this, oh, man. But now I look at them and I go, whoa.
Well, I was hot,
I
right?
was hot, yeah.
Right, yeah. You were well, hell, you're still hot now. So, yeah, no.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. So, all right,
I
yeah.
try.
Okay, so we have your book. Are we gonna sell any more merchandise later down the road, like t-shirts and stickers?
Maybe.
Okay,
I
awesome.
hope so.
Yeah,
Yeah, and I'm
that would be
working on the
cool.
audiobook.
Yeah,
I'm working on
okay.
the audiobook, so hopefully the audiobook will be coming in the next couple of months.
Yeah, that should be going to audible.com if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. So I'm working on that. I got my little booth over here right there.
Oh
You see?
wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my audio booth. So
Soundproof
yeah,
booth. Yeah, I love it.
I'm working on a lot of people were like, you should do it yourself. You've got a good voice. So and I love to read out loud. So I'm working on that, but it's I don't have a lot of time, so It's taking too long. We'll see. But
Okay,
I
so
hope to get
you're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, but you're not under Deborah, you're under your book's name, which is Freedom Quest Book. So
Freedom Quest book.
instead of Deborah, you're a Freedom Quest Book on all those platforms I just
Oh,
mentioned.
and we just started a sweepstakes today,
Nice.
June 1st. You can enter to win a signed copy of the book, a Starbucks gift, no, I'm sorry, Amazon card, a gift card, a towel, and a beach bag.
I love
So
it.
we're, yeah, so we just started a sweepstakes today.
Great.
So, enter the sweepstakes, and I can't wait to find out who the winner is. So it's just for the month of June.
Okay, you're gonna have to send me the link so I can put that on my description so everybody can do it. Yeah.
Great, I will do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Deborah, for coming
Thank
on.
you,
And
James.
I love you so much, and I'm begging you to
Love
come
you too,
anytime you want
man. I
to,
want to give
okay?
you a hug.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. So,
Oh,
okay.
man. Well, thank you so much for having me, and
Sure.
stay peaceful, stay joyful,
Yes.
and
All right.
say hello to everybody. Yeah, thank
All
you to
right.
all your
Perfect.
listeners.
Thank you so much. And with that said, everybody, thank you so much for listening in to this episode today. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.